Thanks for listening to the Town Hall Review with Hugh Hewitt podcast, bringing to you the best voices on the stories and issues that matter. Here's another piece I'll trust you enjoy.
It was a buried news item, and we've been covering so many things. This is critically important. Is Joe Biden has just abolished Title IX as we know it. Now sex equals gender identity. I'm reading from Riley Gaines' tweet. In a nutshell, the new rewrite means men can take academic and athletic scholarships from women. Men will have full access to bathrooms, locker rooms, etc. Men could be housed in dorm rooms with women, and student and faculty must compel their speech by requiring the use of preferred pronouns. If the guidelines above are ignored or even questioned, then you could be charged with harassment. Joining us now is a very courageous woman, Paula Scanlon, who is a former teammate of Mr. Thomas at the University of Pennsylvania swim team. Paula, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me today.
Paula, tell us about, first, introduce yourself, your experience swimming for UPenn, and when you were first introduced to this character named Thomas.
Yeah, so obviously I swam at the University of Pennsylvania. Interestingly enough, we were first told about the fact that a member of the men's team, going by Will, was going to be joining the women's team in the fall of 2019. We had a team meeting where he stood in front of the entire women's team and said, "I'm transgender. I will be transitioning to your team next season. Please refer to me with she, her pronouns." At the time, he was still going by William. So we had to call somebody named William with she, her pronouns. It was incredibly confusing. And so obviously COVID happened, this gets delayed, he takes a gap year, and this becomes a reality in the fall of 2021. And obviously before that, we were told by our coaching staff that they would consider the locker room, they would consider other accommodations. And of course, in the fall of 2021, when we go to start the season, he has a locker just like everybody else. And nobody said anything about it. We had to just act like he was simply another woman in the locker room, another normal female athlete on the team, when obviously nothing was normal because he is 6'4" tall, towering over us, deep voice. He's actually taller than anyone on the men's team as well. So he was the tallest person on both the men's and the women's team. And so just, again, completely ridiculous situation. And we were all told by the university, if we objected to this, that we needed to seek psychological services and we needed to seek help if we continued to object.
Yeah, so can you explain that more? So when you appealed to your elders that there was a biological man that's allowed in your intimate changing spaces, what was their reaction? And just to be very clear, he was dressing fully as a biological man naked in front of other girls. Is that correct?
Yeah, he would completely undress. I mean, I was fortunate enough to have a locker that was in a separate section of the locker room. So I saw him less than some of my teammates did. One of my really close friends had the locker next to him. And the first day in the locker room, back when the season begins, she says, "I'm not doing this." There's a single stall family bathroom out in the hallway. And she changed there every single practice. She would take her stuff out, walk herself outside and change. And again, the university, when she went to the coaches herself and she was like, "This has to be a joke. There's no way my locker is next to a fully grown man." Our coaches and the administration told us, "There's nothing we can do about this. You have to get on board. These are the policies. If you want to be part of this team, this is what you have to put up with." And at every single stage, the administrators would tell us that we were in the wrong. They told us if we ever spoke against it, that we would be on the wrong side of history. They told us this is the next civil rights movement. And if we speak out against it, it'll be equivalent to, you know, supporting segregation in this country and other things like that. It was just completely ridiculous. And every single stage, anyone said anything, we were immediately told we were hateful, bigoted. And we also had LGBT representatives continually meeting with our team and telling us that if we objected to this, we were, again, part of the problem. We were hurting a marginalized community. All of the things that they say on these college campuses.
Well, yeah, men and women should have segregated spaces, especially when you change, actually, because male-female differences matter where racial differences don't matter. That's like a very easy answer to these.
Exactly. Dynamics. And what's so interesting to me, though, is that now the Biden administration is saying, if I want to call Leah Thomas a man, that's sexual harassment. How is it not sexual harassment to have a fully grown man undressing in front of multiple girls, some of which are freshly graduated from high school, 17, 18 years old?
So I brought this topic up yesterday on campus, and the trans zealots say, "But Charlie, it doesn't matter. Why are women so violated by a naked man?" That's their answer. Just so we're clear, yeah, well, I want the audience to understand this. And Paula, it's hard for you to even, you know, reply to this. The trans zealots say, "Well, what's the big deal? Like, Why are you afraid to change next to a naked man?
Yeah. And so interestingly, I mean, I always say to them, and it's something over 90% of people that commit assault are male and over 90% of victims are female. That statistic alone should show us why it's so important for them to be separated. I don't understand why we've given up on that. I know like the Me Too movement was screaming back in the day, what, like 8 years ago when they started. Where are they? None of them are saying anything. They only care about sexual assault if it somehow gets their Supreme Court pick into power, right? They don't care about the locker room. They don't care about young girls. We actually went on training trip. This is a really ridiculous story. We went on training trip to a facility in Florida, and Leah Thomas was changing in the women's room, and there were 4 and 5 year old age group swimmers changing at the same facility. A 6'4" tall, 22-year-old man, fully intact with male genitalia, is undressing next to a 4 and 5 year old girl, or 4 and 5 age group girl. I didn't ask her for her age, but that is about how old she looked. How are we doing this? And I bet her parents didn't even know we were training there.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
So, there's now been recent revelations that Mr. Thomas is kind of a perv based on his social media. Did you see any evidence of that, or when he was your teammate?
So he was actually dating a member of the women's team before he transitioned. So I honestly have no idea really what that was like, because I never really inquired about their, you know, whatever they were up to. But definitely it was very clear at the very least that this person is attracted to women, right? And that's the part where a lot of people are like, we know that this person enjoys women that way, so why is he invited into the locker room? And I think that was really what a lot of people took issue with.
Yeah, and your leaders and the elders at the University of Pennsylvania, by the way, it's not just University of Pennsylvania, I mean they should be torched to the ground, but it's hundreds of schools and high school districts right now where girls have to change amongst boys. Basically, eradication of all male-female distinctions, male-female separation. I want to, first of all, thank you for your courage to speak out against this. Before I get into the Biden thing a little deeper, I'm positive there were other teammates that still feel the way you do. Would you say that it was a majority of your teammates that felt wildly uncomfortable, but also felt that this was unjust, that there was a biological man competing in the women's category?
Absolutely. I mean, I would say probably 80% of my teammates agreed that this was wrong to some extent, whether the competition part bothered them more or the locker room part bothered them more, or that kind of varied person to person. But what I will say is nobody wanted to talk about it. When the administration started coming in and having mandatory meetings with us and telling us again, our behavior is bad if we object to this, we're on the wrong side of history, all of those things. A lot of girls didn't even want to have conversations even amongst ourselves on a one-on-one conversation. They wouldn't want to talk about the situation. And again, to this day, none of my other teammates have publicly spoken about this. There've been a few that have signed petitions and a few girls that have reached out to me and said, I support what you're doing. But for the most part, people on that team did not want to talk about it, because again, all the threats, they told us that we're not going to get a job. We're never going to have a job if we speak against
right. I mean, yeah, I hate to be... this is going to get misunderstood, but we finally found the one thing that women don't want to talk about. I mean, because look, women talk about everything, right? And this is the one. Like, no, I mean, it's just the way it is. I mean that as a compliment. And this is like chilling silence. I mean, even in with your friends group, you're going out to dinner with your teammates. This was verboten, like not allowed. No one talking about it.
Yeah. And no, so I had a friend who swam for Yale, who I knew from age 4, growing up swimming. I texted her and I said, hey, you know, like, what are you guys making of this situation? Like, is this really hard? She texts me back. Don't talk to me. I had known this person for like 20 years of my life. Like, and she said, don't talk to me.
Well, first of all, just Paula, you're a courageous person. We need more people like that. This is what's very important, is that you cease to be good if you're not courageous, period. And Riley Gaines and Paula Scanlon are courageous people, and they're good people. It doesn't matter if your teammates agree with you if they're not willing to speak out. Yeah, you might get a nice corporate job at some data center so that you get to crunch numbers, but like, what good is that? Paula, you're a hero for speaking out. I just want to diagnose how sick this country is. Here you have women that have to change next to biological men. They appeal to their leaders and the people that are tasked with protecting them, and they say, shut up. You're going to be a racist, a segregationist. So, Paula, let's get into the details here of this Title IX decision. Kind of just take a big picture of you. Walk us through the details, and what does this now mean? Essentially, it is the eradication of male-female distinctions. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. In the thing, they're basically saying now sex is equivalent to gender identity, which before these crazy trans activists would say, well, sex and gender identity are two different things. No, now they've taken the physical sex thing and taken it to be their own. I think that is the biggest thing
that
here.
So
and with
important.
That,
yep,
it is. And again, this is why we can't give our language. You can't give them a single thing. You can't be polite with the pronouns. You can't give them an inch, because now they're taking over and they're saying you can change your sex. You can't change your sex. Every single cell in your entire body has a sex. You know what it is. And it's so dangerous. I'm not sure if you saw this, but Dylan Mulvaney was able to change his passport to say that he is female. His sex is female on his passport now. How is that not horrifying that we can completely change reality? Why are we not allowing people to be trans race now? Like, remember Rachel Dolezal? Justice for her, because everyone else is able to do the same stuff now, just with sex.
Well, that's
so
right.
So I think that really is the biggest part.
Well, and this is what's important, is that not every activist has received the memo. Yesterday at the University of Utah, we do our open debate stuff. And one of the trans zealots said, no, sex never changes. It's gender that changes. I said, I don't think you're really up to speed here. They said, oh, no, sex is never going to change. Sex is permanent. It's biological. And so that they're operating under an outdated memo, where the new memo says, no, you can actually fundamentally change sex. And that's where they've always been headed, everybody. And we have conceded on pronouns. We've conceded, and we shouldn't concede on it, okay? You can't change, period. You are how you are born. As you say, every cell is coded either XX or XY. We didn't know that until the Human Genome Project. We now know that. So Paula, in further detail here, let's talk about the punishment. If you mispronoun somebody, misgender them, or if you don't allow men to go into female locker rooms, you could be charged with harassment. Is that right?
Yes. And again, I said this earlier, the first part of the segment. Why is it not considered sexual harassment to have men undressing in front of women? That is fine. That's acceptable. That's totally normal, being flashed by males. But if I say he, or if I don't respect somebody's pronouns, whatever it might be, and there's now people who their pronouns change by the day, or they identify as animals, how am I even supposed to keep track of that? Like, what if I just don't know what they want from that specific day? And somehow I can now be charged with sexual harassment, and professors can be charged with sexually harassing their students in their classes if they, again, call on somebody accidentally and call them the wrong pronoun.
I hope everyone understands this. Go back in time. Jordan Peterson fought this very same thing back at the beginning of his career. Americans, liberals, were laughing at Jordan. This will never happen here. Forced speech, Jordan. And now it's here. So if a professor misgenders a man who might identify as a female wrongly because of their mental issues, then you could be slapped with harassment. And so Joe Biden really enjoys support from female voters. So Paula, I'm just curious, why are women generally so agreeable to the eradication of women?
It's something I keep asking myself. I mean, truly at this point, if you are a woman and you are voting for Joe Biden, please reconsider all the benefits you used to previously have in this country being a woman. You will not have those things any longer. Now, anyone who identifies as a woman can reap those benefits again, right? With this new ruling, they can take your academic scholarships away. They can take the athletic scholarships away. All of these opportunities that we used to have through Title IX that was passed almost 52 years ago will be gone. And I don't understand why women keep falling for this. I think, again, it's really, and I hate bringing this stuff up, but they're just using the abortion issue as the one only issue for female voters. And they don't believe anyone else has anything else to vote for when it doesn't come for that. But we need to have women wake up. And I don't care. There's some women who are pro-choice and I'm not going to argue with them about that. I don't agree, but that's not my problem. We can't let that be the thing that gets them to only vote for Joe Biden when they're losing literally every single other thing about being a woman with him in office.
I totally agree. And I think it actually opens up an attack vector because they're so aggressively, quote unquote, pro-female in their advertisements. And yet this is the most anti-female rewrite of federal rules imaginable, period.
Yeah.
And it has, if it wasn't for Elon Musk liberating X and Riley Gaines getting 64 million views on her Twitter, this was not news. The feminist groups are like, yeah, it's fine. If you identify as one of us, you are one of us. It is the end of women. C.S. Lewis wrote the book, The Abolition of Man. We are living through the abolition of women. Thank you so much, Paul. You're excellent. Come on again soon. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Thanks for listening to the Town Hall Review. If you enjoy your podcast, take a moment, tell a friend to subscribe today. Send them to our website, townhallreview.com. I'm Hugh Hewitt. Thank you for joining us.